Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 9:24 now. New Gallup poll out says that says Americans in theory think larger families are ideals. I don't know if that's about the economy or not, but 4 in 10 Americans now say 3 or more children is the ideal family size, and that's up for the first time since 2007. Again, maybe related to the economy. I don't know. Dr. G. Deborah Gilbo joins us right now, parenting expert and family doctor. Good morning, Dr. G.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What is Ask Dr. G?
That is a website for parents and educators and kids themselves to ask questions about parent-kid relationships.
And that's why I am asking Dr. Gilboa right now about the ideal family size. Is there one, or is it, I guess, all dependent on the couple, which probably sounds like a dumb question, but what about the dynamics involved with each?
So the truth is, there is no such thing as the ideal family. Mm-hmm. What makes sense is what makes sense to the adults in that family. I think there are a couple of bad reasons to have more kids, like the kids you have are asking for younger siblings, but they're not the ones who are going to raise them.
Wait a minute. That's like a puppy. That's worse than a puppy. There's no reason to get a puppy just because your kids want one. So, Lord Almighty, people have children because their kids want one?
Yeah, have another one, please. And that's compelling. When your kid comes to you and says, like, I would love us to have a baby that I could help take care of, and it'd be so great. And you're like, oh, maybe I should. But if you don't feel like that is exactly the right thing for your family, then I would just remind you of the last toy that your child wanted and how long they stayed engaged with that toy.
Take care of the baby. The freaking gerbil died. Are you kidding me? And you want to take
exactly.
care of a baby?
Right. You got to think of the goldfish after 2 days, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, we did that. All right, it's a baby. That's cute. It smells fine. Let's go do something else.
Exactly.
So tell me about the other bad reasons. So one of them is just because your kid, the other kids ask you to have one, some of the others?
Yeah, another bad reason is if you're doing this because you think it will fix your relationship, adult relationship.
No. I'm no Dr. G, but I know that's not going to do it.
It just never works.
Nope.
You know, it's a lovely idea. You think it'll bind you closer together. You both want a child. But if you don't have a strong relationship with good communication and respect on both sides and treating each other well before you have a child, it will not make it better.
If anything, with the stress involved, I would think it's going to make it worse.
Far more likely to make it worse, yes.
How about some other bad reasons?
The only other really bad reason, I think, is if you think that this child will do something for you in the future. You know, this is going to be the kid who is the gender that I imagined, or this is the kid who's going to be the Olympic athlete that I imagined, or this is the kid who's going to win my parents' love for me, right? You can't have a kid to solve a problem in your own emotions or your own path.
Do people really do that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I can understand why. Sometimes people have a child because they think, you know, I don't feel love anywhere else. This will be a being that loves me. And it's true. It will be a being that loves you. But boy, parenting is really hard work. I think like a lot of very difficult challenges in life, you should only enter into it on purpose if you are absolutely positive that you desperately want to do it and you feel like you have a good understanding of the sacrifices involved, because there are.
See, again, I'm no Dr. G, but I would think having a kid in lieu of a 401k is not the right thing to do.
Right. Definitely waiting, you know, having that kid so that they can someday support you when you're older. I think that is a real gamble.
Because in terms of love and unconditional love, I know it goes from the parent to the child, or it should, but it doesn't necessarily go back, does it?
An unconditional love is really... it's a lovely feeling, and there are moments of it for sure, but kids are struggling. If you do a really good job with your kid in the first 10 years of their life, then they spend the next 10 trying to figure out how to be separate from you, and that can really feel like rejection.
But, and so, go ahead, Dr. G. I'm sorry.
Yeah, So that rejection can be really hard to take. You have to be strong and able to stand up and say, I'm still your parent. You still have to behave this way. You don't have to like me all the time, but you have to treat me respectfully. And if all you're looking for from your child is love and validation, it becomes very hard to be their parent.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, having being the parent of a 22-year-old, you know, I'm preaching to the choir when I tell you this, but it's kind of hard because I always looked at it as the job of a parent was to get the baby bird ready to fly from the nest and live on their own, right?
That's it. Our job is to make ourselves obsolete as their parents.
But that nest gets pretty empty once that little bird is gone, and that's kind of hard to deal with sometimes.
Absolutely, that can be hard to deal with, which is one of the reasons that we have to try and be three-dimensional people, even while we're putting all this love and energy into raising our kids, so that we do have either a partnered relationship or friendships and ways that we contribute to the community and stuff that we get that isn't dependent on our role as a parent, so that when they're ready to go, we don't feel totally bereft without them.
And you can't expect them to be concerned about you every minute, as you may be about them, considering you have this young person out in, you know, the world, and you've tried to protect them all the time that they were growing up. I always tell people, well, think back to when you were 20 or 21. Did you really want to hang out with your parents?
And if you did once a week, that's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, wondering why they're not calling or texting 15 times a day probably means that it would be great for you to look for some other ways to get validation in your life that aren't your children.
Because of my poor clock management, we didn't get to boys and girls. Do you have time to hang on, or are you busy?
I do have time.
All right, good. We'll talk about differences between raising boys and girls. I'm getting a lot of interesting texts on that. Somebody texted in and said, you know, I got 3 girls, 8, 6, and 1.5. Constant emotional breakdowns drive me nuts. Amazing kids, but at least boys can just toughen up. And the old thing used to be girls are mean to each other, boys punch each other in the nose, and it's over with. But in today's schools, that's not necessarily the case. We'll be back, WWL. All right, back to Dr. G we go, our parenting expert and family doctor, AskDrG.com. And you got some books out, too, don't you, Doc?
I do, actually. I have a book out called Get the Behavior You Want Without Being the Parent You Hate.
Wow. Do you house train dogs as well?
Only my own, and it took a darn long time.
Yeah, I'm having a problem with that. Tell me about boys and girls. This Gallup survey says that 54% of the people say boys are more difficult to raise. 27% are saying girls. Again, does this all depend on the circumstance, or are there some things, some characteristics, traits that cross all family lines?
Okay, so in the generalization category, I would say that a patient of mine said to me something years ago when I was raising little boys that made sense to me. She said, boys seem to be more physical work from 0 to 6 years old, and girls seem like more emotional work, especially from 10 to 16. So some of it has to do with the personality of the parent, which feels more overwhelming to you, keeping up with all that physical energy and climbing on things and trying to, you know, tear things down or stick car keys in electric sockets when they're little and keep them on what my kid's dad calls suicide watch at that age. Or is it the emotional, you know, somebody looked at me and I didn't like what they said about me, or they hurt my feelings, emotional thing. But I think it's really important to your point to mention that what matters is the personality of the kiddo and not blaming things on gender.
Boys, for the most part, you just put them out in the backyard, lock the door, and then you're done, right? I mean,
no, I'm sorry.
No?
I can't endorse that as a parenting strategy.
That's not, I thought you just kind of like a, it's like you go out there, do your thing. When you're 15, come back. No?
No, I'm sorry. It's not that simple. I wish that it was with my own kids, too. I totally get it.
Have the roles... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doc.
I just think that it's really important for us to recognize that it's really easy when you have kids of all one gender to think, oh, I get this gender, and the other gender must be different. But every child is different, and gender is only one small part of that.
Does the dynamic change if it's 2 boys and 1 girl, 2 girls, 1 boy, all boys, all girls?
Yes, but personality is so much more important than gender that it's easy. I was a kid, I was a girl, and an only child who was climbing to the top of everything, pulling things down and sticking the car keys in the electric socket. So you can't say, oh, I know how this will go because I know the gender of my child. Also, we're starting to understand the chemical and environmental and genetic basis of gender really differently. So it's too easy to put kids in boxes, and then we often miss the really important nuances of how to best raise them. So I don't think that us parents of all one gender get to say, oh, I have it harder or I have it easier.
I mentioned before the break about, you know, with girls and having gone through it with high school and cliques and this and that and the other thing and groups and lunch groups and fallings out and movings on and so forth. Do boys go through the same thing, or is it a different thing in terms of the teenage years?
They go through the same thing, but they are less free to be upset about it. They have to pretend they're not bothered by it. They are shamed if they talk about feeling hurt, lonely, embarrassed. They are really usually only allowed a few emotions like anger or boredom or frustration. And that is really failing boys and guys in our society to the point where they have trouble often maintaining healthy relationships as adults, because as kids, they weren't allowed to talk about some of their harder feelings.
So if you have a teenage boy and a teenage girl, the approach would be the same if there's some kind of social issue?
The approach is to try and get them to feel validated and communicate, like treat them respectfully and ask what's going on and really listen and not assume that just because they are a particular gender that it bothers them more or less.
And somebody texted this in terms of relationships, et cetera. If a boy goes through a breakup with a girl or a girl goes through a breakup with a boy, teenage wise, how do you handle that? Is it different with one or the other if it's a girl? You understand what I'm saying? It seems like nobody's ever good enough for daddy's little girl, but boys, maybe it's different?
We definitely give our kids these expectations that based on their gender, they should handle relationships differently. But I think that actually the right thing to do is ask how they're feeling, ask what they've been through, ask how you can support them, and still guide them about their behavior. Our kids' emotions are theirs. Their behavior, we get to have a say in what is acceptable behavior and isn't. But if we can listen to their emotions, no matter what their gender is, and then ask, how could I help, or how can I support you, or what do you need from me, then boys or girls will understand that they are free to feel what they feel and still be kind, respectful people to whoever they broke up with or got dumped by, but also to the parents.
What about aging and parenting and being able to keep up with the kids and so forth? Physiologically, it's easy for me to say, body biology aside, any data to prove that younger parents are maybe more energetic, older parents wiser, but not as energetic, a nod toward either as being better?
So you're exactly right. What we see is that younger parents feel more likely to and excited to engage with kids in their physical activities and in their running around, but also feel less comfortable being in charge, being the parent. They're more likely to feel like, oh, I just want my kid and I to be friends. I want them to like me, as opposed to wanting me to like my kid. And if my goal is for my kid to like me, then I'm going to back down when my child needs me to stand firm.
Now, those are younger parents or older?
Younger parents have trouble standing firm.
Older, not so much, but not as active.
Exactly, not as much.
Gotcha. Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time as always.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too. Good to talk to you again, Dr. G. Dr. Deborah Gilboa, parenting expert and family doctor. You can go to AskDrG.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!